14. So Mark 7, beginning at verse 14. Then Jesus called the crowd to him once more and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing that goes into a person from the outside which can make him ritually unclean. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that makes him unclean." When he left the crowd and went into the house, his disciples asked him to explain this saying. "You are no more intelligent than the others," Jesus said to them. "Don't you understand? Nothing that goes into a person from the outside can really make him unclean, because it does not go into his heart, but into his stomach, and then goes on out of his body." In saying this, Jesus declared that all foods are fit to be eaten. And he went on to say, "It is what comes out of a person that makes him unclean. For from the inside, from a person's heart, come the evil ideas which lead him to do immoral things, to rob, kill, commit adultery, be greedy, and do all sorts of evil things. Deceit, indecency, jealousy, slander, pride, and folly. All these evil things come from inside a person and make him unclean." The Lord bless this reading of his word. Amen. Now, this passage that we have just read in Mark 7 follows on from what we were looking at last week, from the beginning of Mark chapter 7, where Jesus is having a real go at the Pharisees for putting their own traditions and their own values above the word of God, so that they were actually unable to hear what God was really saying to them through the plain meaning of the scriptures. And we were thinking about how we too can put our traditions and our human values above the word of God, and that can prevent us from hearing what God is trying to say to us in the scriptures. And this passage that we've been reading today is kind of similar to that, in that it's about people making it a high priority to obey external religious rituals, while failing to understand that God is actually more interested in what is going on in a person's heart. And so I want to draw our attention to two things in this passage today. And the first is that what we consume, what a person consumes, does not make that person holy or unholy. And this whole discussion between Jesus and the crowd and the disciples that we read about here, it's all about food, isn't it? And they're talking about what can be eaten and what can't be eaten. And food was very important for the Jewish people. It was very much tied up in their faith in God and their traditions. I'm sure you're aware that Jewish people, even today, will not eat pork. It was prohibited for Jews to eat pork because a pig was considered an animal that was unclean. And so if a Jewish person ate pork, they would have to go to the temple and offer a sacrifice and ask the priest to cleanse them because they had become unclean. Here Jesus says something that is completely revolutionary here in verse 15. He says, "There is nothing that goes into a person from the outside which can make him ritually unclean. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that makes him unclean." Of course, we might be scratching our heads at that, saying, what on earth did Jesus mean by that? And the disciples here didn't understand. In fact, Jesus seems to be quite rude to them. He says, "You're no brighter or more intelligent than the rest of them. You don't get it either." And Jesus goes on to explain. He says, "Nothing that goes into a person from the outside can really make him unclean, because it does not go into his heart, but into his stomach, and then goes on out of the body." That's perhaps just a bit too much detail that we need to know about there. But Mark gives us another little explanation, just in case anybody who's reading this thinks it's a printing mistake, and the people at the time probably thought Jesus couldn't possibly have said this. But he says in brackets, in saying this, Jesus declared that all food is fit to be eaten. Now, it's difficult for us, because we're not from a Jewish culture or Jewish background, to appreciate the absolute shock and bewilderment that the people would have experienced when they heard Jesus saying this. For thousands of years, God's people had avoided pork and other foods that were not considered to be kosher. And here is Jesus coming along, breaking nearly 2,000 years, 4,000 years almost of tradition, and saying, well, that isn't actually quite so important. It's what is actually comes out of a person that is important, not what they're eating. And some just couldn't accept what he was saying. But the great problem that Jesus had about this was that what had been happening was that people had put adherence to these strict laws about what you could eat and what you couldn't eat, while they ignored the moral decay that was going on in their own lives and in their own communities. So, like the Pharisees that we were looking at last week, they put a greater emphasis on religious rituals and had actually neglected the state of their own hearts. I think sometimes we too can fall into the same trap of perhaps putting external things, religious things, whatever, however you want to qualify that, over and above the things that really matter to God. And sometimes we can even judge a person's devotion to Christ by things that really do not matter. We cannot see inside a person's heart. We do not know where their standing is with God. Sometimes, maybe it's part of human nature that we tend to judge others either by their appearance or some things that they do. I was going to take one example of this, and I was going to take smoking as an example. Now, some Christians down the years have considered smoking to be sinful, and other Christians who do smoke have perhaps experienced guilt because somehow deep down they feel, you know, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Christ, but maybe I shouldn't be doing this to my body, I shouldn't be smoking. The great Victorian preacher Charles Spurgeon, probably one of the greatest preachers who ever lived, he was known for his love of cigars and the best of Cuban cigars. He had a fair collection of them. And he once said to his congregation, "Well, dear friends, you know that some men can do to the glory of God what to other men would be sin. And so I intend to smoke a good cigar to the glory of God before I go to bed tonight. And if anyone can show me in the Bible the command, 'Thou shalt not smoke,' I am ready to accept it. But I haven't found it yet. I find 10 commandments, and it's as much as I can do to keep them. And I've no desire to make them into 11 or 12. From what I've read about Charles Spurgeon, he was very severely criticised because of his love of cigars, and it was quite well known around London at the time that he was the minister that smoked cigars, and it was very much frowned on by a lot of people. And some people said that the tone of his voice when he preached, he apparently had this amazing voice when he preached, and it was before they had recordings. It was apparently down to his love of a single malt as well on the odd occasion. And of course, if you ask any doctor about smoking, you know, they're going to tell you it's bad for you. But that certainly doesn't make it sinful, does it? Smoke a cigarette or a cigar. Now, the Apostle Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 6, he says, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial." Now, smoking is lawful for the Christian. But then we maybe have to ask, is it beneficial? And that's for each person to decide. And of course, you could say the same thing about alcohol, or eating a lot of sweets, or eating high-fat foods. Any of these things, if they're not taken in moderation, are going to be bad for our body. They're going to be bad for us, one way or another. Of course, there's all sorts of issues around alcohol, that, especially for younger people today. You know, alcohol fuels violence. The increase in teenage pregnancies and unwanted pregnancies today is very much tied in to the amount of alcohol that young people take, because you do things that you wouldn't do otherwise. So there's all sorts of issues around that, but it's important to say that these things, if taken to excess, are not good for us. But in and of themselves, they do not make a person less holy or holier than anyone else. And I think it's important that we realise that, because this is getting to the heart of the matter of what Jesus is saying here. That the people at the time had become focused on things which really didn't matter, and they had neglected the things which were important to God. And so, secondly, the second point is that Jesus wanted them to understand that the sinful actions in their lives came out of the human heart. They were concerned about things that were going into their body. Jesus was actually more concerned about things which were coming out in their actions. He wanted his disciples to understand that what made a person clean, unclean, or sinful had more to do with the state of a person's heart rather than what they ate. And Jesus here, he gives a list of vices, and are the things that people should be concerned about, and not about food or drink or anything else. So I just want to spend a couple of minutes just looking through these things, because when you first read through it, it's not always clear or apparent what Jesus is actually talking about here. And to think about, where do these things come from? Where do they originate? Where do they come from in the human heart and the human mind? Because they're obviously not things which come from out with us. They're things which come from within us. And there in verse 21, Jesus says, "For from inside, from a person's heart, come the evil ideas which lead him to do immoral things." Well, evil ideas obviously have to begin in our imagination, don't they? That's where everything begins. Through the thoughts of our mind and our heart, those things can lead to actions. And that's the heart of the matter here. That's what Jesus is trying to get them to understand. And when in the Good News Bible, when it mentions the immoral things here, in the old authorised version, it's actually, the word there is fornication. That word maybe raises all sorts of things for us, but it's been very much misunderstood down the years as to what that actually means. I think most people would maybe think it means sex before marriage. In fact, the actual word that Jesus uses here is much wider than that. The English Standard Version of the Bible translates it sexual immorality, which is a much wider thing. But for any Jewish person reading this, they would have understood it to have included sex before marriage, adultery, incest, same-sex relationships as well. And all these things for Jesus begin in the mind and in the heart. That is where they begin. But he goes on to mention other things like robbery. And robbery always begins with a desire to have something that somebody else has and you want it. And you're either prepared to break into a house or steal from your employer, hoping that nobody sees what you're doing. And of course, we've kind of seen all that with the news about the MPs and everything this week, that stealing comes from the heart. It doesn't come from outside of us. It comes from within us, the desire to steal. Killing begins with hatred for another person, and anger spills over into violence. Remember the words of Jesus when he said, if you hate your brother, you're guilty of murder, because you've actually thought about it in your own mind. For Jesus, it doesn't matter that you've actually done the thing. The fact that you've thought about it makes you guilty. Adultery, Jesus mentions as well, can often begin with something that perhaps seems very innocent at the beginning. The thoughts can quickly become actions, and before you know it, families, marriages are devastated. And I have personal experience through friends where this has happened in a marriage. And it doesn't just affect one or two people. It affects whole families on both sides of the family. It's a devastating thing, but it begins in the heart. And Jesus mentions greed. And that always starts with a dissatisfaction for what we have. I'm not happy with what I have, so I want to get more. And as you get more, you want more and more and more. And those things never satisfy, do they? The more you have, the more you want, and it does not bring happiness. But these things begin in the heart as well. Jesus mentions our ability to do all sorts of evil things arises from filling our minds with the wrong things. You know, the TV, the internet, the technology we have today is a terrific resource. You can find out about any topic you want to think of and bring into your own home. But the downside of that is that so much rubbish and filth and other things can enter your home as well. And I think for those that are parents or even grandparents, it's important that we know what our children or grandchildren are looking at on computers or watching on TV. If they have a TV in their own room, it's important that we know what they're doing. Because these things, if we allow them to fill our minds, turn into actions as well. Deceit, that Jesus mentions, begins with lies. And when you lie about something, you usually find out you've got to lie again to cover up the first lie, and then again to cover up the next lie, and it goes on and on. And deceit begins in the human heart. Jesus mentions indecency here, which comes from a lack of restraint over our actions. A person perhaps feels no shame over what they're doing. They really don't care what anybody thinks. They don't care about what God thinks. They don't care about what anyone else thinks. And these things begin in the heart as well. Jesus mentions jealousy, where a person cannot be happy for someone else because they either have something that they have, or their life is in a way something that they desire, and they become jealous of that person. It's not a particularly nice quality, but it begins through the human heart and mind. Jesus mentions slander as well. And when a person speaks about someone behind another person's back, or speaks evil of them, or tries to bring that person down, those things are often premeditated. Someone has thought about what they're going to say before they open their mouth. And that also begins in the human heart and mind. Jesus also mentions pride. Pride is sometimes called the sin of all sins, or the mother of all vices. And it always begins with a sense of self-sufficiency, saying, I don't need God, I don't need anyone else, I'm doing very fine, thank you very much. And you put yourself over and above other people. And you may remember the words of the letter of James, where he says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I think pride is one of the sins mentioned most throughout the whole Bible. For God, it's a very serious thing, and in some ways, perhaps, it is the one which leads to just about everything else. Where we have decided in our heart that we have no need of God, then we're in a very dangerous place indeed. And lastly, Jesus mentions folly or foolishness. This doesn't mean somebody who is perhaps not too bright or intelligent, but it's the person who's morally foolish. The person who has not thought about the consequences of their actions. I think particularly for younger people, when you're young, you don't think about the consequences of what you're doing. I was coming down Finnart Street last night in the car, and there was a young lad overtook me on the outside, doing about 60 miles an hour up Finnart Street. He lost control of the car, swerved in front of me, just missed one of the bollards at James Watt College. And he got such a fright, he'd stopped, and I drove past him, and I could see that the lad was only about 17. Obviously had no sense of his own mortality, thinking about the consequences of driving along at that speed down the road in a car. Often when we're young, we don't think about those things. But that begins in the heart and the mind. We're not thinking about what might happen. Lastly, Jesus says, all of these evil things come from inside a person and make him unclean. So we cannot blame something else. We cannot blame another person. But these things come from within us. And it's a problem in the human heart, in the human condition. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, we'll perhaps recognise our own actions and thoughts in these things that Jesus mentions. You know, none of us are immune. It says in the scriptures that no one is righteous. All have fallen short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. We all have our weaknesses. They may not all be the same. But none of us are immune. And Jesus recognised that the human heart was the real problem that we all have. It's what comes from within us that leads to wrong thoughts, which leads to wrong actions. And what you consume, whether food, drink, or cigarettes, or the finest cigars, is neither here nor there in the great scheme of things. And neither is what you wear to church, or how you dress, or how you have your hair, whether it's long or short, whether you're male or female, it really makes no difference. I don't think God is too bothered whether your hair is pink, blue, or green, or what it is either. For God, all that matters to him is the state of our heart and the actions which come from our hearts. So as God's people, may we learn to be relaxed about the things that God seems to be relaxed about, and to take seriously the things that God is serious about. That we learn to be gracious about the things that don't really matter. And where God shows us where there might be sin in our own lives, that we take it seriously and do what we can to root it out and turn to him in forgiveness. And as we come to this table in a few moments, this table speaks to us of God's grace and God's love to us. And there may be things in our lives that are not right at the moment. Perhaps we don't feel right with God at this moment in time. There are things that we need to deal with. This table is a place of healing. It's a place of forgiveness. It's a place where we can experience the grace of God, the reality of that in our lives. And God took sin so seriously that he sent his son to die for us, who gave his life for us on the cross, who took our punishment upon himself, who died in our place, so that we might receive the forgiveness of God. So that as we stand before God, He would see us as righteous, as innocent before Him. And that's what we remember as we break bread and as we drink wine tonight. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your grace and Your mercy, for the love of God that is shown to us in Christ Jesus, through His death, His suffering on the cross, and His resurrection from the dead. And we realize that in those events, they speak clearly to us that You take sin very seriously, that You were willing to send Your Son into the world, that He was willing to give His life up for us so that we might receive the forgiveness of our sins and be set free from the things which trouble us and enslave us. So Lord, as we eat this bread and drink this wine, may we find healing. May we experience Your grace. May we know Your forgiveness. And may we be able to make a new start with You. Let this be a new day where we turn from our past and turn to You and walk in Your ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.